Thank you, Pastor Armstrong, and also Pastor Barber. It's a real joy to be here at Hillsdale Baptist Church. My wife and I are thrilled to be here and have the privilege to be able to visit with you and also be able to share the Word. I was talking with someone just before this particular service in between Sunday school and church and told them how encouraging it's been for us to be able to come back into churches. We've just been traveling for a couple of 3 weeks now, and to be able to see smiling faces, to be welcome, to be able to be encouraged by you, and to be about that close to one another, sharing our hearts with each other. I'm telling you, we have been spiritually refreshed. We hit our first church in Pennsylvania on the way down just a couple of weeks ago. We had like four there in a couple different areas, two on each Sunday. And to be able to have that opportunity was just such a thrill for us. I shared in Sunday school. I realize only a few are there that are here now, but we certainly have found the challenges come like you have over the last 2 years. I never thought it would be that long. Most people didn't. But we're finding things opening up a little bit more, and I asked them to pray that we would see this summer completely open and be able to have regular camps, and the people would be stirred in their own hearts to walk with the Lord closer and to do God's will for their lives and their own churches. I pray that God will use Christian camping to accomplish that this summer. We really need it. God has given us the opportunity to be there on that field now for a number of years, almost 38 years in May. We begin our 39th year on May 15th, I think we crossed the border in 1984 and set up there and began ministering and serving the Lord in that place. You know, Pastor Smith, who's not here, I wish he and Sheila were here, but I certainly understand. He and I go back a long way. Matter of fact, this year will be 45 years we were roommates together in college. Now, both of us started when we were 10 years old, you understand. You could go to college early in those days. maybe it's because we needed more of it, I don't know. But we appreciate them. He's always opened his pulpit, welcomed us, and really appreciate their heart for ministry and missions and great service of the Lord, whom we missed this weekend, but we certainly have prayed for them already and glad to hear the good report there on their grandchild. God is always good, is he not? When God directed our steps in the summer of 1982 to go to Nova Scotia on 9 weeks of ministry working with a college mission team, Jane and I were married by that time, and we were helping the students, helping the leaders and the students, ministering in different parts of that province. I'd never been to Nova Scotia before, probably didn't even know where it was until the year before, and just thinking through where we were going, what we were going to do. And through that time period of being there in those 9 weeks, God awakened us to the reality of the needs in so many places for the gospel to be preached. Places where there needed to be a Bible preaching church. People that would stand there in the gap among those people and to be able to tell them who Jesus is. To be able to communicate the greatest story ever told. And to be able to establish churches and strengthen God's people through the preaching and through the fellowship and through worship together. I never thought at the time that that would even include Christian camping in the level that it has now. We went there and we took two small churches in fishing villages and began to minister to those people. There was a generation of young people in those two churches whose parents were there. They'd been saved before in a revival meeting a number of years back, but their children and teenagers, many of them were not saved. And so we began to teach them, we began to disciple them, help them grow in the Lord and the parents, that is. And then we began to see the young people respond, and a number of them trusted Christ, and a number of them said, "Yes, Lord, I want you to use my life in full-time service," and they went forward to do that. Matter of fact, just last week, missionaries Josh and Julie Mead, and they're now in Africa, Senegal, West Africa, just put out a podcast last week, and it was so encouraging to hear about their ministry. They've been there now more than 10, 12 years of ministry. And to be able to hear Julie, his wife, share her testimony, and how she was saved there, the tent revival meeting that we had when Evangelist Bud Lyles up there many years ago in the late 80s, and she got saved and later met Josh and been serving the Lord there on that field. You know, when you pray for missionaries, and you pray for fruit, and you pray that God will use them there where they are, you're a part of seeing fruit like that. Because I believe God answers your prayers. And I believe God opens doors. And I believe God leads us to those specific people who need the gospel, who will respond to the gospel, who will be called and serve Him. And when you pray that, I'm glad we can come back and report stories like that. God's answering your prayer. Appreciate so much the teams that you've sent there. After a while, God burdened us more and more for Christian camping. I already planted another church in between those two churches, or while I was pastoring those two churches in the early years, and on that eastern shore of Nova Scotia. We saw God work through that ministry, and children were saved, adults were saved. And then God moved us into Christian camping. We saw a number of small churches that really needed encouragement. We saw the young people that could not connect with one another. This is pre-internet, pre-everything, social media, and they needed that connection. And God used a collective effort of various missionaries and myself to move forward in strengthening Christian camping. God provided Forest Glen Bible Camp property that we have now and been developing that ministry now since the early 90s. And God has been doing a marvelous job in making it possible. Those of you who have been there, men and ladies, have been a great part, young people as well. Thank you so much for what you've invested, not only financially, in your praying, in your giving, and in your going. And now we've seen God really do something to make it possible for us, after all these years of praying, that we could see not only a Christian camp established, but to see the old, almost 50-year-old building to be able to be replaced as our dining hall, our kitchen, our meeting room, to be able to see now that building go up. We prayed for a long time we could get more property. This was an old Kiwanis camp falling apart years ago. 12 acres came with the old buildings, and we've been meeting there now for decades just that way and been building new cabins and so forth, but the main building needed replaced. And God opened a door across the road. You'll see it in just a moment. But we'll be able to put up this metal building during this past year. Who would have thought that could have been done during the pandemic? But we believe it was God's timing. God really made it clear that this was the time. And so really at the end of 2020, we began to really pick up the pace on the planning process and working with permits, engineers, and so on and so forth. And throughout 2021, being able to get where we are now. We have the shell up of this building that you'll see. We have not finished the interior. Some rough end work has been done, but now we need partitions put up. We need to finish the electrical, the insulating, and a number of other things to be able to get that building ready. We don't think it'll be ready necessarily for this summer, but we're hoping to be able to use part of it if we can get far enough so it'll give us an occupancy permit, and we'll be able to actually occupy it. We're praying that it'll be finished by the end of this year, Lord willing, and that we can have it for various retreats and also summer camp. So pray for us. Christian camping in Nova Scotia is an opportunity for these churches, as I said, to find one another. But I believe right now is the time that they need Christian camping more than ever. They are hungry for it. The young people there don't have a lot of other opportunities. Very, very few go to Christian school. They're bombarded in their public school system, many of them. Some of them are homeschooled. And when they come to camp, from a youth group of 3, 4, 5, maybe even 10 in a couple of cases. And they have youth groups that are very small, many of them, and they come to our camp and they find that person and that person and that friend, and underneath the preaching of the Word of God, you know what they're doing right now as I speak during these last few days anyway? They're writing me and say, as a teenager and young adults, can I be a part of your staff this summer? It's amazing to see their response and their hunger and their desire to not only be there and get from camp, but also to give back at camp so they can minister to people's lives too. That's the thrill of ministry there, is to be able to see them go, teach them so they go forth and teach others also. I want you to see this building. Thank you for your desire to give towards the windows project to be able to make it possible. The exterior is up, but if you look close enough, you'll see plastic over the holes. That's what's there now. And so your giving will help us towards that windows project and be able to get those installed and to be able to get it completely closed in at that point, and then we'll proceed inside. Someone put this together for us after a number of pictures that I'd taken throughout this process, and I hope you'll be able to see from the time of clearing the land until what we have seen the Lord do up at this point. So we're going to show that video right now. Mm-hmm.
Forest Glen Bible Camp is a ministry of the Churches of Eastern Canada, a place where lives are changed for the glory of God. For decades, we have been praying that God would provide more property and a new building to replace our 50-year-old chapel and dining hall. A few years ago, God answered our prayer and gave us 108 acres. In 2021, we built a new road directly across from our main entrance and began the construction of a new lodge, which will be a place for preaching, eating, fellowship, and indoor activity. Even though our program has been very restricted during the pandemic, we rejoice that God's work has never stopped. It has been a blessing to see the land cleared, foundation laid, and floor heating installed, trucks unload steel and metal panels. Support beams erected with the use of a donated crane. A large septic system installed. Roof and walls constructed. Doors installed and the ceiling insulated. Our Canadian churches are excited and are giving to help finish this new lodge. Please pray that God will provide so that we can build interior walls, install the windows, the electrical and plumbing, and open the doors before the end of this year. God promises, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." So we trust in him and look forward to many more souls being saved, teens surrendering to full-time Christian service, and young men answering God's call to preach, as we have seen in our old building. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. We praise the Lord today and say with the psalmist, "For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work."
You could try to see that and a few others this time, and I trust that'll give you a little bit of an idea of what took place. It's exciting for me to be able to see. I had one of the guys up there kind of put it together for us, and Brother John was so helpful in putting the narration that I recorded a while back, kind of cleaned it up a bit for me and put it on there. It really was interesting to see that property with the trees on it, somewhat cleared, and then to be able to see the building kind of pop in there. But you know what? The video went quicker than the project's going, you know? It seems to work that way, right? But anyway, we are thankful for what God's been doing and the opportunity to be able to see it where it is now. The interior is still not finished, as I mentioned, but the Lord's doing a great work there. The people, they're excited about it. And I believe when we finally get them out and of their lockdown, so to speak, that they'll be getting more excited. Many of the people haven't even seen this on site anyway, the building and the progress, because we've had to cancel one thing after the other, as I mentioned in Sunday school this morning. In 2020, most of the year was completely canceled due to the restrictions and so forth. Pray one more thing, though, if you would. We had some camps in 2021, a few there in the summer, which is encouraging. As I said in Sunday school, pray that the federal mandate will be lifted, that all who want to come across the border and that want to help us in ministry there can. They can help churches and vacation Bible school programs. They can come and help as ministry teams in Christian camping, whether it be helping us on staff for a week of camp or whether it would be in some other kind of helpful area and volunteering to help improve the property and projects like this. And so really pray that God will make that possible for us. He can do anything in a minute. And we're praying that we'll be able to see this accomplished by June. Maybe some people can come and gather with us. So your prayers are greatly needed, greatly appreciated. Your support, your encouragement Told you in Sunday school, some of you, just a blessing of being able to come and be able to fellowship with you. It's like coming home. Jane and I love being here. I'm not from this area, but we've been here a number of times, and you've been more than welcoming, more than encouraging, and such a blessing when you come to the field. One of the hardest things for a missionary when mission teams come, it's not the work that goes into preparing it. It's not the work that goes on while you're there and the busyness and a little bit of sleep, all of you get when you're working and just trying to get so much done in a short time. The hardest thing for the missionary is when we see you leave. When you leave from that field after that sweet fellowship and seeing all you've been doing and all God's doing through you and the interaction, that's the hardest part. Because we feel like we're missing something when you go. And we are missing something. We're missing that one-on-one encouragement that you're giving us, the investment of your life and your resources, of course. And it's so such a blessing when you go to a field. If you've never had a chance to do that, I hope you'll pray about that at some point in your life, that you'll be able to go to a field somewhere, be able to see what the ministry's like, just to go with the whole purpose of being a blessing. And you will do more than you can ever imagine in the life of that missionary family and their ministry. It'll be a huge investment for you. You'll come away a different person. You'll come away with a greater desire to pray. You'll come away with a heart for another place, another family, another ministry, where you were used during that time to be a blessing and encouragement in missions. So I encourage you to do that. That's what we have received from you and from others who have been there to be with us. Appreciate you turning to 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. Again, thank you for the privilege to stand here today. We'll take a few minutes looking at this passage and also others as we journey through it. This morning in the message in Sunday school, my challenge was for us to get an understanding of the importance of having confidence in our great God. We looked at Proverbs 14. We looked at Psalm 93, talking about the Lord reigning. We looked at Psalm 103 and the fact that God's kingdom ruleth over all. And my challenge this morning in Sunday school was that we would have an awareness of the presence of God in our life every day. And not just once a day, but throughout our day. And I believe as we look at 2 Timothy and see Paul's heart for Timothy, Paul's heart for every person that would know God and desire to walk with God, that they would have a certain mindset when it came to serving God. They would not let the distractions of their day take them away from the sweetness of fellowship with God. They would not let their circumstances turn them off course, deter them from keeping the main thing the main thing. And I believe that when Paul speaks this way throughout his epistles, and when the psalmist is challenging us, and the wisdom of Proverbs is challenging us, we see this theme running throughout the entire Bible. And beloved, I'm convinced, perhaps more than ever, that God truly wants us to walk with Him every day and let His Word speak to us every day. And when we get away from those being our main goals on any day of any week, any time in our life, we will suffer from it. We'll find ourselves, when we go through the hardships and the valleys and the challenges of life, we'll feel alone. We'll feel like, I can't do this. We'll feel like it's out of our control. We feel that way on mission fields. We feel that way in churches like this, do you not? You feel that way wherever you are. You can be in a crowd and still be alone, can you not? We certainly can. We can be around the greatest preaching, the greatest people, the greatest music. Oh, you've enjoyed this morning. Beautiful. What a blessing. I remember years back when you met in the old building and I came back and I was just needing this kind of singing and music and worship in my own heart and life. And I remember going back and it was one of your missions conferences. Someone else was leading at the time and I was just amazed when you sang the song, Lord, Send Me Anywhere. I was about ready to go again somewhere. I mean, it was amazing. I was so refreshed. But that's what's needed, to be able to live every day of our lives. Let me ask you a question this morning. What was your week like? Let me ask you another question. Today, what is your week like? You say, preacher, you're really mixed up now. You know there's 7 days in a week, don't you? Yeah, I know that. See, I know Canada's a little different sometimes than here, but they still have 7 days in a week, don't they? Yeah, they do. We still got 7 days in a week. But it's so important for us to understand from 2 Timothy 4 what I'm talking about. So let's look there in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, and you'll get what I mean by the week. The W-E-E-K. So on your paper, if you're taking notes, write down W, underneath it put E, underneath it put E, underneath it put K, and you'll have our outline this morning. That's why I'm asking you, what is your week like? Your W-E-E-K. And I hope you'll never forget this. This is critical, I believe, as we serve the Lord as God's people every day. And it's also critical today, if you don't know the Lord, you never come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that you can't get there in your own way. You can't get there by your own will. You can't get there through your own works. You can only get there by coming to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood is shed for you, whose payment was made for your sin, and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I need a Savior. I need my sin forgiven, and I come to you to save my soul. That's the only way we can begin that personal relationship with God. And I pray this morning that if you haven't done that, you'll start there. You'll recognize your need. And your salvation comes only from Him. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's the servant of the Lord, Apostle Paul, speaking to a faithful servant of the Lord, Timothy. We oftentimes, when we see this passage, we think, well, he's just talking to preachers. Because he starts out, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We understand that. All right, he's talking about preachers, so I'll kind of tune out. No, he's not just talking about preachers. It is the challenge to Timothy. But he goes on to talk about the day in which he lived and the day in which all of us would live until Jesus comes. And he says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Do you feel like you're living in that age now? Yes, we do. They will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will run in all kinds of directions as they're scratching their ears to get somebody else to scratch it with some kind of thinking, some kind of teaching, some kind of doctrine, some kind of emphasis. And they've done that for a long time. I was just reading this week. I never heard of them before, really. But the two-by-twos. Have you ever heard of the two-by-twos or not? They were called the two-by-twos because they didn't want a name. They don't even believe that Jesus Christ is God. They certainly don't believe he could be their Savior, but they went on and on. It was some kind of a group off the Amish, I think, from way back. And the two-by-twos and the Clooneyites and some of these ites have always been people like that that won't endure sound doctrine. They won't believe the truth that God has given us in his word. And so they have itchy ears. Verse 4 it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And they will turn from the fables. They will turn to the lies. They will turn to the doctrine that is contrary to the Word of God. So that's the environment that Paul was describing to Timothy after he challenged him personally about being faithful in his call to God. I believe he's also challenged us to be faithful as a Christian as we live for God. And he says this will be your environment when you try to live for God. It's not going to be palatable. There won't be people just waiting and saying, okay, tell me all the doctrine you can tell me. He goes on to verse 5, and here's our outline. But, here's what we do. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Shall we pray? Father, we ask you this morning to take your word. Help us to understand the simplicity of your truth. Help us, Lord, this morning to have an awareness of our need for God every day. And help us, Lord, when we get up each morning, as we shared in Sunday school, to love and appreciate the mercies of our God, the compassions of our God that are fresh every morning, so that we can cling to you and believe your truth and live for you on that day and represent you as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ to people we meet every day. Help us, Lord, to see our mission field before us every day, lest we get caught up in the task list, lest we get caught up in the environment, lest we get caught up in material things. Lord, help us to see our mission field. Lord, I pray this morning that we would take the challenge that your apostle Paul gave to his servant Timothy and to all of those who would live in an environment where sound doctrine was not taught, where sound doctrine was not received, where people would turn to lies and would believe them. Help us, Lord, to do what you want us to do in light of that environment. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, he says, watch. Watch thou in all things. Watch. That's the first one. There are many passages we can look at in the Word of God this morning that would speak about watching. Many times you will see watch and pray. Watch is oftentimes accompanied with an emphasis on praying, the importance of going forward with the Lord and talking with the Lord. There are three things I want to mention to you about watching this morning. By the way, he says watch on how many things? Just a few? All things. We've got to be watching. There are three. I like simplicity in outlines. Maybe I'm just not smart enough to come up with these real long outlines. I don't know. But watch thou in all things. Watch. When I think of watch in the Bible, and I go through the verses and find these verses that talk about what we do when it comes to watching, I see the importance of turn from sin, talk to God, trust His promises. Will you write that down? Turn from sin, talk to God, trust His promises. Turn from sin, talk to God, trust His promises. You know what? If I could do that every day, and if you could do that every day, while we're watching here has the idea of taking heed, looking at it, not just a glance going by, but you really are giving attention to something. You're watching it. Many times it's mentioned for us to pay attention, to give a response, to look at this. Don't let it fly by. Park on it. Look at it. Observe it. Absorb it into your mind and your heart. Watch. And if I'm going to watch, like God wants me to watch in this day where there's all kinds of unsound doctrine and lies floating around, I have to, number one, turn from sin. I can't live the Christian life endorsing certain sins in my life, can I? I can't go around just kind of covering up things and letting people think that I'm an okay Christian. I have to let God get down and take his spiritual knife and begin to cut at me and to take out those things that are wounds and those things that are cancerous in my own heart and life and walk. And he's got to cut those out and he's got to make me pure and clean in the Lord Jesus Christ again so I can be effective in walking with my God and watching that day. I've got to take the sin out. Colossians chapter 3, if you'll turn over there quickly. Colossians chapter 3 is mentioned how to do that. He says to us in this passage of verse number 5, he says mortify, Colossians 3, 5. Mortify means to put to death. It means to destroy, to devour. Essentially, it means to take the power out of it. Mortify, put to death. Take the power out of it. Your members which are upon the earth, like fornication and uncleanness and inordinate affection. And it goes through the whole list that are there. It goes on in verse 8 and talks about anger and the wrath and the malice and blasphemy and the filthy communication that comes out of our mouth and the lying and the old man and its deeds, all that's involved in that. I've got to take the power out of that. And when I speak it and I act a certain way and I love a certain thing and I enjoy certain entertainment, and I just find myself more and more kind of enjoying the world that's around me and enjoying less and less of God and His Word and letting the power of the truth transform me and make me more like Jesus, then I'm not mortifying my flesh. I'm not putting it to death. I'm not watching. I got off track on the first point. I'm not watching. And usually when I'm not watching, I'm not praying. How about you? Watch. Turn from sin. And when I'm not really watching like I should, I don't really talk to God like I should. Turn from sin. Talk to God. One of the greatest needs, I think, today is for believers to just be believers. Be believers who actually have come to the point of knowing they're lost, they needed Christ, they accepted His finished work on Calvary, and then began to see what God looks like. They began to see what living the Christian life really is. Maybe they've heard different people describe it to them, but they want to get in the Bible, and they will let God teach them what the Christian life is. They need to understand, and all of us do, that it is a personal relationship as we have on this earth with people. We talk to them. We're with them. We get to know what they like. We want to please them. We want to be with them. We want to enjoy them. All the things that we already understand on a horizontal level, God wants us to understand it even more on a vertical level and be more consistent in it and more desirous and get closer to Him. And He begins to draw near to us, the Bible says. Having that kind of walk with God. Live a long time and saved about 55 years now. I know I only look 45, but I'm going to say 55. And through these years of hearing all kinds of description about Christianity, having leaders and others in schools, been in Christian schools, been in evangelistic meetings, been all a lot of these places, and all the things God has allowed us to do in serving Him, I can't get over the fact it all comes down to, on this day, will I meet with my God? And will I let Him talk to me? And will I let Him challenge me that I would be pure in my thinking, that I would be pure in my living, that I would be pure in my desires? That's what we need every day. We can't rest on experience. We can't rest on Christian environment. We can't rest on the fact that we own multiple Bibles or have memorized multiple verses. All that's important. But it has to rest on this day. Do I feel close to God? And if I don't, Lord, I want to get where You are in a quiet place. And I don't want to leave until I get closer. Because, Lord, pasting on the Bible onto my mind like a copy paste or just going into a Christian environment won't meet my spiritual need right now. It'll be helpful. But, Lord, I need You. And, Lord, when I come before You and I begin to follow what You want me to do in being a watchful Christian, I know the first thing I'm going to do is turn from sin. And the second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to God. And Lord, when I do that, You're going to talk back. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And He begins to show us on that day who we are and what we need and how much closer we need to be to Him, how much more we need to get into His Word and even memorize it and let the Word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Where we put our confidence in Him. And as I said this morning, we see Him as our place of refuge. It's like there's a storm out there. What do? You run inside. You get under the shelter. You go to the tower. You go somewhere. And God is described as all of these. And it's a place where we find peace. Peace I give unto them, Jesus said. Not peace as the world giveth. Don't forget that. You will never find peace in this world as long as you look for it in any other thing except the peace that Jesus Christ gives. Amen? There is no other peace. Oh, it's false peace. But Jesus himself in his own words says, peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. It's not the same. You might have a peaceful moment here and a peaceful moment there. You got a vacation here. Ooh, glad I'm enjoying it so much. Yeah, that's great. But it's not the same kind of peace you're going to get when you step into the presence of the Lord alone and you bow the knee like we just sang about. There is nothing like that time with God. And in there even, we watch. We watch. We watch God. We watch him show us what our needs are while we're turning from sin and while we're talking to God. And it transforms us so that we're able to do the other points of this outline, which I'll get to in a moment. It starts here, the watchfulness. We go on in this particular passage, and he says, not only to talk to God, and we know it's mentioned many times. By the way, it says in Colossians 4, the next chapter over, you can look at it if you want. But it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Peter 4, 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. That means be in your right mind and watch under prayer. The be in the right mind is the same word here that's used when the maniac of Gadara was healed by the Lord. And remember, the disciples saw him with Jesus and they said he was in his right mind. Same word. And that's what he's saying here. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be ye sober. The word sober there is the word watch. Be a watchful person. Be in your right mind. Unto prayer. Talk to God. What a blessing to have that privilege to continue in prayer and be able to talk with the Lord. Find that sweet fellowship with him. And then while we're doing that, the third part of watch is to trust his promises. During this pandemic, all of us have had to go back to the Bible and find a promise, haven't we? The days where you felt like you were sheltered through mandates, I maybe didn't feel it as much here. Our people there felt it very strongly. Mental health challenges rise to the surface. People feel like there's no end. They feel like their church can't meet anymore. Pastors struggle in what to do, how far to go, how far to obey, etc., etc. And it's a whirlwind, trying to figure it all out, seeing the sheep start to scatter, seeing some sheep rather be in Zoom church than local church. And they see all kinds of issues surfacing. Disunity among people, pro-mask, anti-mask. All these things many churches have experienced all over the world during this time. And therefore, we must go back to seeing the promises of God through any circumstance of life, whether it happened a day or whether it continued multiple days and weeks and months, and really into a second year in our region. And those promises are sweet. Those promises are rich. Those promises are so important as we trust the Lord himself. And I like the fact that God in his promises reminds us that he is there to watch for our soul. He is there to guide us through that valley. He is there to encourage us. I think God, he's often pointed that out in my life and probably yours. Before I ever went to Nova Scotia, most of you know this, we were on deputation and God gave us a beautiful little girl. Full term, actually a couple of weeks overdue. Beautiful, no problems at birth. 3 days later, God chose to take her home. We were a young couple, about 25 years of age at the time, 26 maybe, headed towards mission field, first time. And during that time, God allowed this to happen in our lives. And I thought, Lord, how could this be? I never forget following the ambulance from one hospital to the other and crying out to God by myself. I said, Lord, why? I'm going to Nova Scotia. I want to reach people. You put it in my heart. I surrendered when I was 17 to preach and Now we're 25, 26 on deputation, and Lord, I'm going to the field. I couldn't explain it. But you know what? We always have a loving God. Always have a loving God. And I think that Romans chapter 8, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, I believe, reminds us of that. When he says in verse 35 that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us. Whether it's tribulations or persecutions, the whole list is there. Nothing can separate us from God. And I'm so thankful that we have the privilege to enter into a relationship with Him every day. In that passage, it's beautiful to read how much God loves us. And I'm so thankful that as we journey through life, we never have to travel alone. And we must all remember that. Even this past year, as I mentioned earlier, through the COVID experience, my wife and I had in August, and shortly after that, the passing of my mom as she entered heaven, there are just more challenges, more trials, more things that God brings across. And when it comes down to it, I have to trust His Word. I wished I was perfect in this, don't you? All wish the same thing. Don't you wish like every time we just had the right response, we just always had the right receiving of God's Word, and every time, just, you know, this wonderful Christian. We all will find ourselves up and down. We all will find through these hard times and trying to trust His Word. But I'm thankful that we always have it, and God always gives it to us. Watch. Turn from sin. Talk to God. Trust His Word. Secondly, is the letter E. E is in the text here. It says endure. I really talked about some of this already, so I'll not be here long. Enduring those hardships. That's the word. Suffering means suffering trouble, hardship, affliction. The Bible's full of this. Enduring hardness is a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Many other passages that Paul describes, times that he was shipwrecked multiple times, left for dead in Lystra, in prison so many times, and a number of situations that Paul, always as he shared his experience like that, he was writing to you and me, but the pen of inspiration of how we needed to live our lives when we came along, and how the people of that century needed to live their lives in their local churches and keep being faithful to God, enduring those hardships and those afflictions. I think one of the things, as I mentioned earlier, that we just don't learn sometimes in our youth or maybe as a newborn babe in Christ like we should, is that when we come alongside the Lord and we enter into His family and we're bound for heaven, we're not going to have complete smooth sailing all the way, are we? And when the storms are there, it's important for us to endure. We can't do it without God's help. We can't do it without the promises I was just talking about, trusting in His Word. It just won't happen. But praise the Lord, He's there for us. He's there for us when we go to the far corner of the earth to be able to preach the gospel. He's there for us when we're right here. We always have Him to endure. But like I mentioned before, and I've been in some of these groups, there was a time in my life that I even came back and I was in so much, my wife will tell you, so much turmoil and trauma and just hurting before God. And of an issue that we were facing. Not between each other, but with another issue that was in our family. And I thought, Lord, how can this be? And I remember sitting in a very large crowd of people. And I was just like I described a moment ago. I felt alone. Even in a Bible-preaching church, you can feel alone. But there's a cure for that. When you're enduring, we get right back to being watchful. Turn from sin. Talk to God. Trust His Word. Delight thyself in the word, the law of God in Psalm 119:47, which I have loved. That was the psalmist's desire. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revelings. That's what Isaiah said. Faint not at my tribulation, Paul told the church at Ephesus. And it goes on and on and on, the encouragement he was trying to give others in the midst of their difficulties. The third point is also mentioned here in the text. In verse 5, do the work of an evangelist. Doing the work of an evangelist means you're evangelizing. It's evangelize. Not only do we watch, we endure, we evangelize. As a believer who's called of God to be an effective and faithful Christian representative of Christ this side of heaven, we're to be watching, we're to be enduring, we're to be evangelizing. We can spend a whole summer on this, but we don't have much more time. It's important that we evangelize, that we announce the good news like the angel did at the birth of Jesus, like many have gone out and they've given the gospel. Find someone on a given day or given week, ask God to bring somebody across your path that you can actually take a gospel tract and give to them at least take it and share it with them. This is one I like to use. I've told you this before, the story behind Amazing Grace, and oftentimes I'll go up to a person. I did it at McDonald's this morning. Matter of fact, I had the privilege to do it. You have two windows at McDonald's here. So I had a chance to go to two windows at McDonald's, and I said, you probably heard this song, and I'll show it to them. I said, you'll enjoy reading this. This is a story about it. Both of them took it. Praise the Lord for that. And I believe we just got to get the word out. We have to evangelize. If the gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost. And I don't want to be in the hiders club, do you? When I get to heaven, all right, these are the people who said they knew God. They said they were born again. They said their sin was paid for at Calvary. It was a wonderful day when they reached out and they were transformed by the power of the gospel and it changed their life. But these are the people that would not take it to anybody else. Boy, I don't want to be in that group. I want to be in that group. They're not the hiders of the gospel, but they're the proclaimers of the gospel. Announcers of the good news. The evangelizers. Doing the work of an evangelist is evangelizing. Getting the message out. Whether it be home or around the world. I bring you good tidings of great joy. And that's what this world truly needs. Boy, I want to spend a long time there, but I won't this morning. Think about how God can use you to be a part of the Great Commission. Think about how you can open your life to somebody else and tell them about Jesus. You know, sometimes when we feel a bit depressed or a bit timid, one of the best things we can do is find someone and share the message. I don't know about you, but to me, it's exhilarating. It's hard to do it at first. Sometimes we're timid. Sometimes we just don't know how to say it or what to do. But when you finally get the words out and you're talking to them about what God's doing and changing you, you come away from there, you felt like you were at a revival meeting. Seriously. Because you just felt like you were being God's spokesman at that time for this particular person. Just before I left to come here, 2 or 3 weeks ago in the States, I went by to pay a guy not far away up the road, an excavator operator who did all the work for excavation of our building, put in our septic system. He's helped us in other times. Probably some of the guys who are here may have seen him on the property there, his excavator, giving gravel or spreading gravel or whatever during the time that you were there. He's about mid-40s. Been praying for some time that God would open up a door. It's very difficult when he's there, he's in the middle of doing his work, and he wants to get moving on, do different things. Praying that God would give him an opportunity to witness to him. I went into his shop just a night before we left, and gave him his final payment for the work he's done so far, and it was a perfect opportunity. His shop is like, it holds 2 or 3, you know, dump trucks and heavy equipment. It's that big shop right next to his home. And I began to share the gospel. I took him a couple of pieces of material. I gave him a book I like called Paid in Full, written by Elder Chapel. Also gave him some other material. But before I did that, I asked him, I said, after I shared the gospel with him, I said, have you ever heard the gospel before? And after I'd gone through the simple plan of salvation, he said to me, no. I never heard the gospel before. And I thought, my, what an opportunity. What an absolute privilege to stand in front of Him and to be able to present this wonderful story. Pray for him that he will come and know Jesus as his Savior. I believe he's open. He's always been a gracious person. He has a little girl that wants to come to camp. Not quite old enough, but she's getting close. And I pray that God will use us an opportunity to be able to see him understand God's truth. I pray that God will give you those opportunities. I'm sure many of you have testimonies. Even this morning you could share about that. But don't let a week go by that we don't present the gospel in some format. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a note. Maybe it's a gospel tract. Maybe it's a spoken word. Because we are the ambassadors for Christ. We are to be the evangelizers. We're to watch. We're to endure. We're to evangelize. And then the K is also here, not in the word form, but it's mentioned here in the last phrase of verse 5. Make full proof of thy ministry. The idea of fulfill full proof here, the word fulfill, is the idea to bring it to the end. Bring it to completion. Completely accomplish what you've been set out to accomplish. And in this passage, when he's told them to watch and endure and evangelize, he is simply saying here, keep going forward. Keep. There's the key. Keep moving forward. Go all the way to the end. Full proof of your ministry. Fulfill it. Get to the end of it. Do. Be obedient. Be faithful. Do exactly what God wants you to do in keeping the message going. Keep watching. Keep enduring. Keep evangelizing. Keep on going. The devil wants us to look backwards all the time, does he not? He wants to look back and he wants to see this issue and this negative impact in our life and this other situation, or help us to focus on our failures or focus on our sins or whatever it might be. He always wants us to look back. And Paul comes along to the church at Philippi that was trying to do that. And he says, don't look back. Press forward to the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't look back. Look forward. Keep moving forward. Take God's mercy for this day and His compassions for this day and His faithfulness to us for this day, and believe His word and walk with God and keep going forward. That was the message that Paul gave here to Timothy and all of us, and he was just about near the end himself. Because when he got here to verse number 6, as you'll see below it, he says, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Fought a good fight. Every day we need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm trying to fight the fight. Would you give me the power of God to help me be effective? Lord, I'm trying to fight the good fight. Lord, I'm trying to finish my course. Lord, I need the presence of God today to be able to finish my course. Lord, I'm trying to keep the faith. Lord, I need the peace of God today to help me keep the faith. Sometimes it's hard to believe. Sometimes it's hard to trust. But I need your power. I need your presence. I need your peace so I can fight a good fight, so I can finish my course, so I can keep the faith. Lord, help me to keep going. To the end. God help us to do that. Watch thou in all things. A young lady, and I get multiple testimonies from people all along, wrote this testimony. This young lady came to our camp, and she was about 14 or 15. Gave them a home where there was no Christian encouragement, no Christian parents. This girl came to that local church that brought her as a result of their outreach program to children, young people. She got saved at our camp that summer. She went back to her church, and from that day to this day, she now will soon be 18, 17 or so, to this day, she's been faithful serving in that church. She's just about ready this next fall. I don't know how she's going to do it, but she doesn't either, but she knows the Lord wants her to do it. This next fall, she's applied to go to Maranatha Baptist University to school. There we have four or five young people from Nova Scotia and the Maritime area that are actually there as students right now. And she is really burdened about being there and joining them and going forward. It'll be a whole new world for her. But she wrote this testimony. This is one of those answers to your prayers when you pray for us and when you pray for ministries like it. One night at camp, the Lord was working through the service and touched my heart. I knew that He wanted me to unharden my heart and ask the Lord to forgive my sins and become my Savior. But I just kept pushing Him away. The reason I did this was because I thought that what I was learning at home and in my Catholic church was right, and that because of being baptized as a baby that I was saved. When I got back to my cabin one night, I asked my counselor if I was saved, and she, of course, explained to her what baptism meant and what salvation meant and so forth, and she did get saved at that particular point. But she said the conversation stuck with me till the next night when at the end of the service, I went back to find my counselor and asked her to help me understand salvation. And she did, and that night I opened my heart and asked the Lord to forgive my sins and save my soul. Ever since that night, I feel happier than I did before. And I praise the Lord because of that. Every day when I wake up, thank the Lord for that. And I pray to Him that I would be a light and do His will every day. I wake up and in everything I do. There is nothing like seeing a life changed for the glory of God. I pray that you will pray for us, and you will pray for opportunities yourselves to serve in this way in your church, about your day. And I pray that God will give us more souls until Jesus comes. God, help us all to have a good week, a W-E-E-K, every day. We need a good week every day. Watch, endure, evangelize, and keep moving forward. Because if we don't have a good W-E-E-K, we become W-E-A-K. And Paul's desire was that he would faint not. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We'll be weak if we don't watch and endure and evangelize and keep doing God's call in our lives. Let's pray.